Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm Lauren Williams, one of the consultants at Student Loan Planner, and I'm joined today by Sim Terwilliger, one of our new consultants, and we're going to be talking all things why I wish I had taken student loans. So I know this is not the most likely of circumstances that we hear at Student Loan Planner. People are just like, oh, these loans, why did I do this? What a terrible decision. I wish I would have known this. I wish I would have known that. But student loans can actually be super duper helpful. And Sim is going to talk to us a little bit today about how she ended up debt free, but also why she wished she had taken on student loans. Sim, welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here.
All right. So let's just jump in. Let's talk a little bit about where you went to school and what kind of decisions were being made, you know, because the one thing we forget about as we sort through our undergraduate degree is that we're minors. So generally, we are not of age to be making these decisions alone. So what was that overall process like for you from going from high school to having the conversation and deciding about going to college?
So I didn't get to share this last week. I told you guys that I currently live in Virginia, but I'm actually originally from Philadelphia, born and raised. You can take the girl out of Philly, but you can't take the Philly out of the girl. Growing up, I always heard about the University of Pennsylvania ever since maybe middle school, right? They would always call it the Ivy in your backyard. Pretty much from then on, I knew that was my dream school. That's where I wanted to go. I worked really hard, made sure I did the right extracurriculars, got the grades that I needed. But, you know, it's not a guarantee. I mean, it's a very selective program to get into. And I was super lucky that I got accepted. Having said that, though, I applied without knowing anything about debt, finances, student loans. I didn't have a plan for how I was going to pay for it. I just knew, okay, I just have to get in. And so I got in. And one thing that I did know was that I was very afraid of student loans. I didn't know anything about, like I said, debt or finances. All I knew was that student debt was bad, right? It was the big bad thing. A lot of people got in trouble with it. A lot of people couldn't pay back their debt. You know, maybe they couldn't get gainful employment after they graduate. And these were things I kind of like pieced together, but no one had sat me down to educate me on what my options were. Now, one thing that I did luck out on, though, without knowing this, was that because the University of Pennsylvania is an Ivy League school, yes, it has a very large cost of attendance, right? Right now, it's probably somewhere over $70,000. But they also have a very large endowment and a very, I would say, generous financial aid program. And so because there just wasn't money to send me to school, and you know, I came from like a immigrant working class family, I actually did qualify for quite a bit of financial aid. It wasn't so much though that I couldn't stop working. I still needed to get some funds together so I could pay for my books, so I can eat, so I can have a little bit of a sense of independence. And so I had to figure out how I was going to fund that difference. Some of you may know about this, but what some schools do as part of your financial aid package is they offer you a work study grant. And the way a work study grant works is, let's say that your package has $3,000. So usually your school will have different employers and they're basically getting a subsidy. And I don't know what that subsidy is. I want to say it's like 50% of your wages are subsidized by the government. And then the rest of it comes from their budget. And so it's actually cost effective for some of these on-campus employers to hire work study students. For a lot of students, it's a win-win, right? You get to work and you earn some of your money and you also get on-hands job experience. So you get to work and you get some experience, and that can be a win-win. But having said that, sometimes it can be misleading to call it a grant because it's not truly a grant. You still have to work for it. You still have to, you know, apply for jobs, get your resume together, compare different wages. You know, this one's paying minimum wage. This job is paying $10 an hour. And you work until you've earned the full amount of the grant. Some of these on-campus employers, though, will choose to keep you on after your grant has run out. You know, they can make up the difference through their own budget. They just need to fill those positions. And so that was what I did, was I got my foot in the door with some of these work study jobs. Some of them would keep me on during the summer. So I worked 10 to 20 hours a week because I was so afraid of taking any debt whatsoever.
I mean, you bring up so many good points, Sim, you know, the fear of the debt. So a lot of times when we do consultations, we have people come on, they say, I didn't know anything about student loans. I didn't know anything about finances. The majority of us don't at age 16 or 17 or even 18 when we're making these decisions.
Right.
It's such a huge resource to be able to have someone in your household that, you know, has done this before, has gone through the process, is talking to you about finances. But even still, when someone does come along and shares information, it's, you know, it may just be information that's not super duper full circle or super duper productive as it pertains to overall information that's available. So like you said, debt bad is information you receive. And it's great that someone was talking to you about the fact that, you know, debt is something you have to pay back. And I know you're probably thinking like, what if I can't pay this back after college? Like, I don't want to. So rightfully so, we want to scare, you know, young professionals or children or, you know, recent high school graduates into understanding the importance of taking on debt and that it is something you have to pay back. But you also don't want to scare them so much that they don't actually do what they need to do in order to be able to attain an education, to attain the resources necessary. So it's kind of one of those catch-22 situations where getting the information, but getting the full scope of the information is so important. And so many of us don't get the full scope of the information. We get a part of it, or even we only hear a part of it, because I know I wasn't a good listener at 17 years old.
Who was, right?
Right, exactly. But
I think you bring up a good point, Lauren, that we forget sometimes why we're there in the first place. I was there to get my education. This is what I worked so many years for to get there. And then by the time I got there, I didn't have this college experience, that this picture that had been painted for me, because I was working 10 to 20 hours a week. And that has a real opportunity cost as well in terms of, you know, building that network, those social relationships, people that you can do career networking with after you graduate. Or more importantly, when am I going to study? People, I think, talk about working these like cushy jobs where you get to, like, I don't know, sit at the library and like do your homework. And I'm like, okay, but how many of those library jobs exist? I didn't work at the library. I was actually like not sitting and doing my homework. I had to work and pay attention to what I was doing. And so I didn't necessarily have the best GPA. And I'm not going to blame it all just because I was working. I mean, I was also in a very rigorous program and it was super tough for me. But I do sometimes wonder, how much better would my studying have been if I really had more time to dedicate to it? Maybe if I had only worked, you know, 5 hours a week instead of sometimes 10 or 20.
Oh, that is such a good point. And I love the term opportunity cost. You know, it's one that they threw around back in college days, but we don't hear very often. And I mean, you bring up really good points, like you mentioned earlier about the hands-on training you get. So you have a resume when you get out of college that other people don't necessarily have because they haven't had any work experience during college. But also on the other end of that, by having the work and one, having less hours, that gives you less time to be able to do other things and interact more with the other students, which is cool networking. Because like you said, where do some of those college students that we get to meet and hang out with and become friends with end up in life? You know, where does that network take you when you forge those relationships? And so opportunity cost is the perfect word to be using to be able to kind of describe the give and take of the, there are benefits to these various things, but there are also some things that you're going to give up along the way. And which one is more important to you?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think this is an area, and honestly, you can probably talk about this in a future podcast, but this is a way that inequalities can be exacerbated, even like getting to college in the first place. Things like unpaid internships. Unpaid internships can be a very rich source of job experience where you get into a company that looks super good in the resume, but for whatever reason, they don't want to pay you. That happened to me. I took an unpaid internship one summer. That same summer, while I was doing that, I was also working so I could, you know, try to build up something of an emergency savings fund, which no one had talked to me about. I just knew, hey, I need to have something in my bank just in case. And what I didn't know too is that some colleges, including mine, actually had like this secret program where if you just like reached out to your financial aid officer and told them you were doing an unpaid internship, they did set aside some funds for students whose family AGI was below a certain threshold. And so there was a way to fix this gap in opportunity, but I didn't know about it because no one told me. I'm sitting here busting my butt trying to, you know, do the right thing, when, you know, I could have had a better summer too.
Oh my goodness. And I didn't know that existed until right now. So I'm sure there's somebody else that's listening like, man, I wish I would have checked to see if that existed. But hopefully we're helping people get the resource of knowledge and help them understand that they go share this with a kid that you know is headed to college or maybe even your own children. But it's such a good point about the idea that, you know, there's resources that exist and opportunities that are available, but also just the lack of being able to get access to the information to be able to take advantage of it is something that holds people back and impacts their overall financial trajectory.
And can I take us down a quick rabbit hole? Because I want to elaborate a little bit on there being opportunities or funds that exist that we don't know about. So I learned about that maybe my second year, third year of college. And so somewhere near the end, my laptop broke, just like straight crack down the screen. Maybe some of you have been there. You're pretty much looking at getting a new laptop at that point. And that would have been a very steep cost for me. So by then I had realized it never hurts to ask, right? So what I did learn was I packed up my laptop. I went down, I made an appointment with the financial aid office, sat down in front of the financial aid officer. I opened my laptop and I showed him the crack. And I'm like, hey, can you guys help me out with some funds so I can replace my laptop? And they did. They gave me, I want to say it was like a $700 grant, which I didn't need all of it for the laptop. And so I was like, okay, I can finally like put a little bit, you know, away and buy some basic things that I need. I think I bought like cheap winter boots because it was snowing and I didn't want to spend the money on it. I mean, we're talking about that kind of situation where I'm negotiating like necessities so I can like set some money aside, but it didn't hurt to ask, right? All I did was show him, hey, I have a legitimate need. Here's my broken laptop.
Oh my goodness. And it's so amazing, like you said, to hear yet another resource that was available. And also you're aging yourself slightly, like, oh, I didn't even need $700 for a laptop. Like, where can we find a laptop that costs less than $700 nowadays?
Those were the days and I didn't even know it. Isn't that how it always is?
Yes, it is. And so this episode is all about why you wish you had taken student loans. And I think this is a great segue. The grant swooped in and helped in that situation. But I know some of the situations for people is that they don't have, like you said, regular cost of living needs, and there's no way to meet them. And even above and beyond the grant, like you said, you were in a situation where that helped in that moment, but you probably could have used some additional help. So talk to us a little about why you wish you had taken student loans.
By virtue of the school that I went to, it was a very expensive and, you know, tough school. There were a lot of, shall I say, well-to-do students who attended there. By the time that I graduated, Lauren, and I'm going to date myself, 2013, only 45% of the undergraduate student body received any kind of need-based grants. And so if you do the math, that means 55% did not. So what I'm saying is 55% of the undergraduate student body was determined by the financial aid office to either they earned too much money or had too many assets to not even need any kind of need-based grants, if that gives you any kind of an economic picture of the kind of place that I went to. And so for me, I was kind of surrounded by these folks. And I don't want to give the impression that I was trying to keep up with the Joneses. I was certainly not. I was just trying to keep my head above water. And so why do I wish I took out some loans? There were a lot of times when it really would have helped me out. For example, I mentioned networking. There was a conference that I wanted to go to with some other students, and it cost, you know, well over several hundred dollars, right, for lodging and food and all of that. And so one of my friends kindly shared a, you know, I'm going to put this in quotes, but a scholarship with me. And I'm like, okay, I'll apply for this scholarship. I got the scholarship. And it turns out it wasn't really a scholarship. It was, you get to work during the conference, but we'll let you attend and we'll pay your way. At the time, I felt very off about it, but I was just so grateful that I didn't have to pay for it and I could just be there. So while all of my friends are sitting together and they're enjoying the conference, I'm actually sitting by the lights, and I was the light guy for the conference. No training whatsoever. Just, I'm like, all right, we're really doing this, huh? And it was actually really awkward for me, Lauren, because I'm like, oh, I'm poor. And everyone knows that I'm poor because I'm sitting out here, you know, poor Sim. Mm. You know, how much different would that conference have been for me if I could just, you know, sit with my friends and we can talk about the things that we were learning and doing together? I mean, that's just one example. You know, where a little bit would have gone a long way for me.
Oh, my goodness. You just drove home such a good point about, you know, sometimes it's hard for someone to think about what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. But, you know, the idea of like, work hard, do your part. It's okay, you know, like scholarships are great. And it's like, yes, they are. But also, like you said, sometimes you single someone out and you feel singled out. And that's a feeling that someone on the other side of that, maybe it gets by them that that's something that you were experiencing in that moment. Your friends may have not thought anything of it, like, oh, it's cool. Like, my friend's doing the light, like she's in charge of something. But they could have also realized, like you said, that, you know, there was some sort of difference between the two of you. It's likely that, you know, you felt that, but maybe they didn't see it. But either way, the fact that someone has to be made to feel like that by being singled out is something that we often overlook. And I think that's really an important point in how we kind of disseminate dollars, resources, knowledge, et cetera, so that people can get the resources they need to do whatever it is they are trying to accomplish in life, but also not feel less than because they're in need of some resources.
That's exactly right, Lauren. It really did suck feeling singled out. And that's not really a situation I would want anyone to be in. I mean, I get it. Sometimes we do what we have to do, and sometimes we take what's available to us, but sometimes it just stinking doesn't feel fair.
Yeah. So sorry that was your experience. So you said you wish you had taken out some student loans, and I want to be specific in the type of loans, you know, so there's federal loans, there's private loans. Do you wish you had taken federal loans or private loans?
That is a great question, Lauren. I absolutely wish I had taken out some federal loans, especially federal subsidized loans. Those would have been available to me. The difference, why would I feel like you're going to ask me that, Lauren, why would I want the federal versus private? The flexibility, it's all about the flexibility, lower interest rates. And, you know, I was at that time so afraid, what if I can't pay it back? Well, if you're in a federal student loan plan, you can ask your servicer to put you in forbearance if you need to, or deferment if it's a subsidized loan. You know, there's more options when you have a federal student loan versus when you have a private student loan. That's pretty much it. There's not usually a lot of leeway. You're signing a contract, you sign that promissory note, and it's a done deal.
Yeah, but as I think about this, like, you know, the fixed interest rates is one of the things. So as we do consultations, we're usually like, now for most of the borrowers that are coming our way, like 6.5% interest, which is not an awesome interest rate, but it's much better than the interest rate you would get if you were borrowing private loans. Because they're looking at the risk and saying like, "Woo, there's a high likelihood that $30,000 or $40,000 we're giving this undergraduate student is not going to result in dollars coming into their pocket in the form of salary that's going to make it worth our while." And so what do? They give you a terrible interest rate, very similar to a credit card, you know, maybe 12 or 11%, double digits. So those fixed interest rates, not jumping all over the place, not variable, is one great benefit of federal loans. But then in addition to that, they are overall lower than what you would get from private loans initially. We talk a lot about refinancing as well, but that's something that comes along later once you have the income to support it and you're trying to pay your loans off.
And also in addition to that, with federal student loans, you know, you can also get on an income-driven repayment. Now, obviously, which one you can get on kind of depends on when you took out the loans in the first place, but that's another layer of flexibility. You know, can I get on pay as you earn? Can I do income-based repayment? These are things that exist to help borrowers as well. And those things just don't exist for private student loans.
Yeah, and it's really, really tough to get out of school with, you know, $60,000 or $70,000 of private debt that's already set up with the payment plan and not being able to say, oh, I can't afford this. You know, they might have already given you 20 years, which is kind of like the max term, and it's still not affordable based on the job that you've gotten. And so this is where the income-driven plans make a whole lot of sense. I know sometimes it's a little bit hard for us to explain as we're going through consultations to people that, hey, you're on an income-driven plan, your loans are $100,000. By the time you're done with these loans, they're going to be $300,000. And they're like, wait, what? This makes no sense. How are you helping me right now? But to actually be able to pay based on your income makes it affordable for you so that you can do so many other things in life, so that you can save your emergency fund. You can save for that home down payment. You can save for your kids' education so they're not taking on student loans. And it's actually tied to what you're earning. So it kind of gives you a more fair amount to be able to pay on a monthly basis. And frequently you end up paying only a portion of what you actually borrowed anyway, you know, depending on what your income is. So that is a great benefit of student loans, and particularly federal student loans.
And, you know, for me, bringing it back to, hey, I wish I took out student loans. You know, for me, it was more about having more time that I could study or, you know, take opportunities that maybe I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. But I think, Lauren, there are some listeners out there who would also benefit from taking out student loans, but maybe they're in a different situation. I'll share a little bit about a friend of mine who I think would have benefited from taking out student loans. She was in a very difficult home situation, and she was also very afraid of taking out debt. And so because of that, she decided to live at home, which I think just from a personal level was a very bad decision for her and her mental health. But she was so afraid of student loans that she's like, this is a way to save money. And so she lived at home, and she, because of her home circumstances, didn't really get to dedicate as much time to studying. And she was always, you know, stressed and upset. She also ended up working because she wanted to kind of get herself out of there, not as a professional, but just as a friend. I'm like, hey, maybe you should just take out some student loans so you can move out of your house and live somewhere else and focus on your education, which will, for the major that she was going for, was a very lucrative major. So I was also not concerned that she would have any trouble paying it back. But, you know, when you're in a situation, sometimes you just don't see it.
Yeah. And it's so hard sometimes to take that advice from a friend. You're like, oh, you're the same age as me. Why am I listening to you? But it's one of those things where actually even introducing the idea plants the seed, and it is the catalyst for change for some people. So I'm so glad that you brought that up for your friend. And it's one major point as to why student loans are a good thing. But there are multiple. Like I said, while many have negative energy around student loans, we definitely need to kind of acknowledge the helpful aspect of them. And so, you know, they don't ask for a credit history when you go ahead and take on those federal student loans. There's no cosigner. So you're not asking anyone else to jump in and be a part of this loan with you. If you're in a terrible home situation, you may not have anyone who's willing to be a cosigner or even has the finances able to be a cosigner. So another great benefit of federal loans, no cosigner, no credit history. You mentioned deferment and forbearance. Definitely you end up in a tough situation for some reason, and you need to, you gotta put the loans on hold. You get 3 years of forbearance with your federal student loans. So that's 3 years that you can actually, you know, go through something, get your credit card debt paid down if you ended up in a tough situation. And we don't often recommend people go into deferment or forbearance, but it's something that's nice to have available if it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I feel like for me, that's the name of the game is flexibility. That's really what I wish I would have given myself. And just to put some numbers on it, I don't wish that I took out like, you know, $30,000 of student loans. I think anywhere from even just $5,000 to $7,500 over the course of my undergraduate education would have gone a super long way.
And that's a really good point too about the idea that a little bit goes a long way when you are struggling to make ends meet. And just to provide a little bit of additional flexibility can totally change your overall college experience. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that, you know, it is 4 years of life, 5 or 6 for some. And if you decide to go, you know, undergraduate, multiple years of your life, it is a part of your overall story. I think it's so important that we acknowledge that we should be making the most of the experience in addition to the opportunity to get the education. And you also brought up earlier, Sim, the idea that, you know, there were some, I think you said 55% of those that attended your school that were not necessarily in need of financial aid. We also know that the system is not exactly perfect in the sense that there's a calculation that's done and some people are not qualifying for financial aid, which means, hey, your parents were supposed to be able to save for your college. But frequently we get in consultations, people who've taken on Parent PLUS loans, which are yet another great option from a federal standpoint to provide some flexibility. What do I mean when I say that? You know, I don't say, hey, everybody go get Parent PLUS loans, but we know that, like I said, sometimes the formula says, hey, your parents should have been able to afford this, but they don't know what's happening in your household. So your parents make a nice six-figure income and they also have, you know, 3 other children besides you. So they're looking at that income, but they're not really taking into full consideration that there's 3 other people in the household. Maybe one of your siblings has special needs and that's an additional expense. Maybe you chose to have the spouse stay at home. And so there's not a lot, you know, there's not an additional income in the household. And so now there's 5 people being cared for, 6 people being cared for on this 6-figure income. And so sometimes the numbers get a little bit skewed to where it's like, hey, you don't have a financial need, figure this out. But actually, people do have a financial need. And so yet another type of federal loan that exists for parents who are passionate about helping their kids being able to attend college are the Parent PLUS loans.
Yeah. And actually, Lauren, I'm going to add this to the category of it never hurts to ask. If you are in a situation where the school calculates, hey, this is what we expect your family to contribute to your education, and maybe there are some extenuating circumstances, you can actually reach out to your financial aid office and ask them to do what's called a re-evaluation request. With that, you can add, you know, more details about your specific facts and circumstances that maybe weren't captured on the FAFSA form. And actually, speaking of FAFSA, there are, just to explain to our listeners, there are basically 1 of 2 forms, actually usually 1 or both, There's the FAFSA and the CSS profile. And depending on what kind of school you go to, public versus private, you may need to fill out both to get financial aid. So the FAFSA, that's the federal form. All schools will ask for that. Some private schools will, in addition to that, ask for the CSS profile, which is super, super detailed, much more so than the FAFSA, but that can be a double-edged sword. So they can use that information kind of either in your favor or against you to say, hey, well, your parents have these assets. They should be able to tap into some of those to fund your education. Even though as a financial planner, I may, you know, if I'm working with the parents, I may say, actually, that's probably not ideal for you to tap into that asset. Maybe your kids should take out student loans. And so I've been on both sides of it, you know, as someone who wished that they had borrowed, but also as someone who has counseled parents in making decisions about what they should do for their child's education versus should they just fund their retirement.
And we have a lot of those conversations during our consultations with $200,000 or $300,000 of Parent Plus loans and maybe thinking about taking it on for additional children that are coming up behind them. What is going to be the overall plan to be able to pay these loans back? We've got to come up with a repayment strategy that is fair to the parent who's taking on all this debt on behalf of their children, because you said at some point they're going to want to retire. They're going to need to retire. Whether we want to or not, there may be a point in our lives where the decision is made for us that we can't work anymore. So you have to prioritize yourself and your retirement, your savings. Otherwise, what happens is you took on the debt for your kids and hopefully they got a good enough income, because grandma and grandpa are going to be moving in and getting on the couch or living in the living room or taking on the extra bedroom if we don't plan accordingly. So those are sometimes tough conversations that we need to have about at what point do we max out on the way that you can help your children and also be able to help and maximize the benefits to yourself.
Yeah, and that's a tough conversation to have, because sometimes you get parents where their kids are going to be the first one to go to college in the family. And that's such an honor and, you know, a milestone for the family. So they're going to do what they can do to make it happen. But sometimes they choose to do so at the detriment of their retirement. So maybe they need to reframe their thinking as, okay, like, it's great, you know, our kids going to college, but maybe if I save for my retirement, they won't have to take care of me in my old age. And maybe that's my contribution to them. That still has a lot of value as well.
Amen. I could not have said it better. So as we get ready to wrap this up, kind of summarize for us the reasons that you wish you would have taken student loan debt.
My key word for today is flexibility. So I wish I had taken out student loans. So maybe I could have only worked 5 hours a week and spent an additional 10 to 15 hours a week studying. I think that that would not only have helped my grades, but it also would have helped me to realize I was in the wrong stinking major. I was a liberal arts major and here I am working, you know, in finance. And I really wish I would have had some earlier experience with that. I could have been doing what I love so much sooner. I also wish that I could have done an unpaid internship. You know, I could have spent more hours doing my unpaid internship, not having to work those summers. I could have just had a better quality of life and not had to spend so many hours working. I could have, you know, socialized, which there's value in socializing, both for your career and for your mental health. I would just encourage our viewers, yes, be cautious, be intentional, but don't be fearful. Let knowledge give you clarity and direction.
Oh, I love that. Let knowledge give you clarity and direction. The famous words. We need to put that in quotes somewhere, put that hanging up in the office. That is incredible advice. And as I kind of wrap up, I'd like to summarize just federal over private. That is a really important thing to consider. And so why federal? No credit history is necessary. No co-signer. So no one else is signing up. Better interest rates than taking on private debt. You can defer the interest on some of the loans if you get those subsidized loans. Forbearance and deferment being something that's available to you. There's a 6-month grace period when you get out of school. So you don't have to jump right into paying the loans. You get a little time to figure it out. Those income-driven plans that Sim mentioned are so important as you're kind of getting your feet wet, understanding what your first job is going to look like, and working your way up the totem pole. One thing we didn't talk a lot about was also discharge. If you were to become disabled, if you were to pass away, these loans can go completely away at no additional cost or expense to you or to others. So if you pass away, those student loans, federal student loans pass away with you. If you become disabled over the course of your life, this is not something that's going to hang over your head. Public service loan forgiveness. We do a lot of talking about that on the podcast, but there's no option for that if you have private loans. Great benefit to having federal loans. And last but not least, you know, the Parent Plus loans as an option to be able to give that gift to your children is something that's really important to a lot of people. And it does provide at least yet one other option for you. So I know you don't hear it often, but Sim wishes she would have taken student loans. And I don't think that taking student loans is the worst thing in the world. Let's change our mindset. Let's recognize the flexibility that they do provide and be super excited that this is one of many resources available to us as we kind of map out our financial lives and go after those things that are our dreams. Sim, this was a really great episode. I'm so glad we got together to do this. You can find myself and Sim on the Student Loan Planner schedule. You simply go to studentloanplanner.com/team and you can set up a consultation. And in 60 minutes, we can help you get a student loan plan in place so that you're not stressed out all the time about it. That has been the show for today, studentloanplanner.com. Until next time.